This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Paying the tariff at Home Depot and Lowe's. I'm David Brancaccio. Home Depot today posted the slowest quarterly growth in about 3 years. The stock is down more than 1% now. Bad weather in February gets blamed, lower profit on lower lumber prices as well. Now, the other big one, Lowe's, reports results tomorrow. China tariffs are going up, which is relevant to the story. Here's Marketplace's Renata Sego.
The latest hike took tariffs on many Chinese imports from 10% to now 25%. About half of Chinese goods coming into the U.S. are affected, including merchandise that ends up on the floors of Home Depot and Lowe's.
Things like small appliances.
Seth Basham is managing director of equity research at Wedbush Securities. He expects the increased tariffs could affect 20% of home renovation inventory.
Garden hoses, power tools, things of that nature.
Laura Champagne, managing director of equity at Loop Capital, says the tough winter is more of a threat right now. But if tariffs do eat into profits, the companies might ask their vendors to swallow some of the costs or consider
moving production out of China into low-cost countries, Vietnam, Cambodia, India. And worst-case scenario, they have to pass on some price increases to consumers.
She says the companies might also have to absorb costs in the short term. I'm Renata Sego for Marketplace.
Those tariffs are designed to add pressure on China to reform its trade and intellectual property practices. But in its quarterly forecast this morning, the OECD in Paris predicts global growth in business investment will fall, given the trade uncertainty, from 3.5% to below 1.8%. Here's Jeffrey Cleveland, the chief economist at Payden & Riegel in Los Angeles.
It does have an effect on global growth, particularly if the tariffs are in place for an extended period of time. However, I don't think what we're seeing so far is enough to tip the U.S. economy into a recession. We're seeing the U.S. economy growing at a pretty decent clip, about 2.5%. And if the tariffs stay in place over the course of the year, that could put the brakes on growth a bit, slowing the economy to closer to 2%. But David, 2% is still a long way from a recession.
Jeffrey Cleveland at Payden & Riegel. In early trading, the Dow is up 118 points, 0.5%. The S&P 500 is up 0.6%, NASDAQ up 0.8%. And another number we're following today, 6.7%. That is the portion of very rich people with income $10 million or more who got their taxes audited last year, according to fresh IRS data. That's less than half the audit rate of the prior year. The IRS wants more money, but some conservatives say more money needs to bring more results. Where you grow up has a lot to do with your financial health as an adult, particularly if there was a bank where you grew up. New research, just having banks around made a big difference. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore has more.
When Raleigh Heimer was a child, his parents would take him to the bank.
I got experience depositing my lawn mowing wages into my bank account and got to learn about different financial products.
That kind of exposure, turns out, is really important. Heimer, as an adult and a professor at Boston College, looked at two sets of Indian reservations. For legal reasons, one group had local bank branches, the other didn't.
Those who had access and exposure to local banks ended up entering into credit markets at a much younger age, and they ended up being much better managers of their own personal debt.
Those who didn't have exposure had 7 to 10 point lower credit scores, were 20% less likely to have a credit report at all, and had slightly higher delinquency rates. Mark Glidden teaches at the University of Arkansas. He's also looked at access to banking.
We're finding more and more bank desert areas but don't have access to mainstream financial institutions.
People from these places, Glidden says, are more apt to turn to predatory lenders or not end up using banks at all. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
The Canadian company Bunz, B-U-N-Z, began as a Facebook group in Toronto for people to barter their cast-offs, say a trailer hitch for a coffee table. Bunz got popular, put out an app, and next step, a currency. Emma Jacobs reports.
Toronto musician Yod Sylvester is waiting at the entrance of a subway station.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Great.
He's meeting Sarah Van Donk, who has brought him a container of protein supplement. Sylvester does lots of trades of objects for objects. But in this case, he doesn't have anything Van Donk wants. So he's paying her with Bunz's in-app currency called Bits.
So then I just type in how many? 200 bits, yeah?
Yep.
So I just type.
Bunz created Bits a year ago to make trades like this one possible, says the company's CEO, Sasha Darius Mashtahedi.
We needed to relieve that bottleneck by allowing people, when they didn't have what the other person wanted, to be able to still transact.
In essence, money. What Bunz had started out trying to avoid. So to help push this new currency, Bunz enrolled brick-and-mortar businesses to accept bits for about 75 cents U.S. for every 100 bits and arranged for it to be exchangeable with a cryptocurrency. And earlier this year, it started giving users bits for their time and data, that is, for interacting with corporate ads and surveys on the platform. University of Toronto professor Joshua Gans says Bunz's currency keeps users within its microeconomy, a little like a loyalty program.
You are trying to get customers to pay less attention to the competition and more attention to you.
Some other tech companies have tried paying users for data, including the search engine Bing. But Gans says it's hard to make real money from data when people are already willing to give up so much for so little. Like the pair who came to trade at the subway station. Van Donk and Sylvester say they're happy to participate in Bunz's data experiment for some extra bits.
If they're going to have the data anyway, I prefer to be paid for it than to have it mined for free.
Right now, Bunz is most popular in Toronto and Ottawa, though it's used in other Canadian cities. It's investing in new markets where people have extra stuff and an appetite for digital currency. Next up, San Francisco. In Toronto, I'm Emma Jacobs for Marketplace.
And listen to what it sounds like when some random guy calls claiming you've won $2.2 million and a car if you pay him some money up front.
Do you remember how much money you won? That's why I need you to write it down.
Sound to you like a scam? Our series on healthy older adults who may develop a vulnerability to fraudsters is up and running. Marketplace.org if you missed today's installment on the radio. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.